Greetings and Merry Christmas, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to our Black Christmas franchise show. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Billy Loya.
Okay.
I'm giving you some props, comparing you to
I wanted something clever. Sorry, go ahead. And Pug's Black Christmas. Maybe dread.
I won't make any props. All right. Solid.
Pug's dread.
Namaste. What's up?
And Mike Krueger.
Ho ho ho, bitch.
Can't give Krueger a name. I mean, then I get my ass kicked even worse. So, you know, can only fuck with you.
I mean, you could have called me Billy and you would have got some points, but you had to give it to Todd.
I mean,
Billy doesn't even do any raping. Like, he gets raped. What
this
the fuck?
Is true. This is true.
Silent Night, Deadly Night should be different.
Well, I think we have some Todd-like qualities we'll talk about tonight. But yeah, so we're here tonight to talk about Black Christmas from 1974.
It's not a Kwanzaa movie.
It is not.
Dan's already screwing it up. We're here to talk about all three of the Black Christmases.
Yeah, that's where I was getting there.
You said we're talking about Black Christmas 1974.
I was then going to go to Black Christmas 2006.
Oh, and then, rundown.
And then
Dan, are you here?
We're going to talk about the three Black Christmas films.
He's mansplaining to us. I don't appreciate Dan. You triggered me.
That's white splaining at this point.
All right, fuck it. Three Black Christmas. So we're going to kick it off. We're going to rank them best to worst.
And I kind of guessed this one, but
maybe not. Who knows? Maybe somebody will have a surprise.
I know, Dan. You're 2019's your number one. We know that.
He's like, don't even play. Don't even play.
Well, now the border doesn't even work.
COVID is better. I'm just going to say it didn't impact it the same. But Krueger, how do you rank yours best to worst?
So, with me, it's probably not going to be the most original list because this is probably everybody's list. But it's Black Christmas 1974, classic. Fucking love that goddamn movie. I like to call it the father of the slasher films that, you know, isn't Psycho. Then Black Christmas 2006, great modern fucking slasher story from the early 2000s. And that's the rest of my list because I'm not going to include the piece of shit at the end.
And the one that will be unnamed. Well, for me, when we were going through the questions that we know ahead of time going in, I thought this would be easier to decide. To my surprise, I have to go with Black Xmas first. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how much I liked that movie until it was put up against the original. And I'm like, holy shit. That was a surprise to me. So Black Xmas is number one. Black Christmas is number two. And that I know we have to talk about this, but like, it's fucking Black Christmas. Like, this is, as Krueger said, a father of, you know, that John Carpenter borrowed from this movie. And like, you know, that's my series. So thank you, Black Christmas, to giving him the POV.
You know, we need to have our slasher show because I have so many arguments about that.
Well, you know, he also had a sequel that
there's also
and again, there's enough Halloween
to cover on that. Yes, okay, and there's also the fact that Bob Clark liked to talk and hear Bob Clark talk. So
Bob Clark likes saying Bob Clark. Bob Clark. And I do love Bob Clark because
I used to, and we'll talk about him more later. Cool. But yeah, we definitely, because otherwise I'm going to start arguing for no reason.
That's cool. And then the fucking bottom bitch is 2019. That movie just trash.
Whoa, 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 whoa. If you're going to use the terms, use them right. Bottom bitch is your number one.
Isn't that top bitch?
No, bottom bitch is your number one.
Oh, well, fuck. My pimping is wrong. I've been doing it wrong the whole time.
Well, so yeah. Unless, I don't know, unless you got something to tell us.
No.
All right.
That's it.
You know what? Fuck it. I make the rules on this one. I'm a tie with the original N06. I couldn't pick one. The historicalness of that original is so high, I can't put it above, but I can put it on par. And then, you know, then you have the garbage one that don't miss our commentary. Dane's afraid for it to be public. For good reason.
For good,
good reason. Oh, fuck. One of us should have put it over then, damn it.
Yeah, so make sure to subscribe. Yeah, so make sure to subscribe to our Patreon. Check out that Black Christmas 2019 commentary because we tear that movie's asshole apart.
And it starts just at a dollar, too, so you can get access to it just for a buck. So please and thank you.
And Fleshman features for you audio fans again. So,
yeah. And honestly, it's worth watching it with us because that movie is hard to get through. So you're welcome, too.
Yes. Which is a
yeah, it's better watching. Now,
I do want to say, if you are an audio-only listener, you can still join our Patreon and get the audio-only exclusive. It's not just the video-only exclusive. So they're both up there.
Absolutely.
Dan has a face for radio.
I love you, Dan. Glorious face. Radio. For if you're not looking or at me on
radio.
Dan, what's your order? 19.
All right. So my order... Number one, the from best to worst, the best, absolutely the 1974 original. I think it's a timeless masterpiece. It on par, if not better than Halloween. I love it. My second is the 2006 Black Christmas, which I just rewatched, and we will be talking and comparing. And my third, it would be that time. They screwed up the lab results, and I thought I had AIDS for like 48 hours. I like that better.
That's because it was Black Christmas, right?
And when my cat died, I think that wasn't as bad. Yeah, I think I could go down that list a little bit longer. Pretty much every bad thing that's ever happened to me is not as bad as
Black I won't Christmas. Name any of them.
Yeah, but. Pretty fucking close. Anytime you're feeling bad about life, just remember you could be watching Black Christmas 2019 and you will feel better. I guarantee it. So,
there's way too people that actually like that piece of shit.
Themselves. So, I'm pretty sure everyone here will back me up. Well, Dan, maybe not, but everyone else will.
Listen to the show. It's the only way. We are your lube when it comes to Black Christmas 2019.
I accept that.
There you go.
Dan accepts anything if you got lube.
Fuck you, God. God damn it. It's Christmas. You be nice to me for once. It's
I wouldn't stick. No.
Here, it's Christmas. Come on, we're not exchanging gifts. Pay me a couple.
I'm going to give you a Christmas bulb in the uncomfortable of places and then just shatter that motherfucker. Is that better?
God damn.
See, I even said that clean-ish.
God bless us. God damn.
Kick that all right. In.
Well, since, you know, let's just do it because we're not going to be putting over the remake. So let's just go to the OG versus the...
2006
versus 2006. Yeah,
we're androids.
Okay, well, this seems like the biggest one. The two are together. Kruger, what do you got?
All right. Okay, so I love the original. Everything about that movie is fucking great, and like even Dan said, like it kind of does even rival Halloween for me. But the remake, man. It screams Christmas, I think, just in its atmosphere, the kills, every way. And I feel like it's even more Christmassy than, you know, the original Black Christmas, especially like with how Billy, you know, escapes by dressing up like Santa. Like, that's so fucking good. And like a huge criticism I see for the 2006 remake of Black Christmas is that the origin story of Billy, but, you know, gets revealed and it's not as mysterious. But to me, his fucking origin story in that goddamn movie is so goddamn good that it makes up for the fact that, you know, he's not left ambiguous like the first one. Honestly, what would be the point of doing that again? So that's my biggest argument on that. And then like the twist with the daughter, like first off, fucking gross, but second off, fucking awesome.
They had the balls to go like, there.
I love Black Christmas. Yeah. And like, it plays out like an extreme horror film. Honestly, Black Christmas 2006. I mean, it hits all those bells and whistles. Maybe it doesn't have graphic rape in it, but there is rape and it's extremely fucked up. And, you know, just the incestual storyline there, everything about it, man. It, like, the my enjoyment level of watching each Black Christmas is very similar. Like, I could have easily tied them together like Todd did. I just, the only reason I think maybe Black Christmas 1974 is a little bit over the 2006 film is because of its history and just how innovative it was and progressive it was for a 70s film at that time. But at the end, like, Black Christmas 2006 is still a goddamn amazing slasher. And, like, even though it may not have as likable characters as the original Black Christmas does, because I think that's another big criticism it gets to, is that,
way more fuckable,
you know, the girls.
Right, Dan?
Yeah, well, one, they're hotter in that movie. So, I mean, if you're into that type of thing. But two, like, they're not as likable, but I think everywhere else in that movie makes up for that fact. I mean, the fact that they're getting brutally, brutally fucking murdered. I mean, that movie has some crazy kills, and I'll talk about that later. But Pugs, what do you got for OG versus 2006, since 2006 beats out the OG on your list?
Yeah, and that, again, that came to me as a surprise, because I always thought I was an OG guy, but I've never really done the versus thing up until now. I can't take anything away from the original. That is the is beautiful storytelling with an ambiguous ending, and, like, it leaves you wanting more, and that's awesome. But the remake, or the 2006 one, we were still, like, we were coming off of, like, the Hills Have Eyes remake and the Texas Chainsaw. So we were still angry and, like, ready for blood. And the Gorehound in me just fell in love with this movie. I don't think it was instantly, because when I remember seeing it going, like, that was good. Not what I expected. But over the years, it's like I've grown fonder and fonder. And I actually have a gigantic crush on Katie Cassidy. So I love her. And I love her in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, even though she lasts like 2 seconds, but whatever. I love the fact that they put Billy and Agnes together. And then this is pre Agnes going crazy at a GameStop, so that's cool. the fact that they give Billy some disease where he, like, looks like yellow, like straight out of Sin City, fucking cool. They just added a bunch of cool shit, and they didn't take away any shitty like, didn't take anything away from it. It just added to its coolness, and I appreciate the hell out of that. I fucking love Black Xmas, and I recommended it to everybody who hasn't seen it, because, like, a lot of snobs are like, OG or nothing. I'm like, sometimes sure, but if you want to reinforce it, watch the new one, and if it sticks, cool. If it doesn't, now you got two movies you like. So, yeah, Black Xmas and Black Christmas are the shit, whereas 2019 is shit. So, what about you, Todd?
All right, I am. Yeah, it's hard to argue with anything that's already been said, and I can't, because I was going back and forth. It's weird for me to say this, because a lot of people consider the OG the grandfather of it. 2006 feels more like a slasher, what we commonly consider a slasher. Mm-hmm. It had the kills and everything, and, you know, it was mentioned the whole, I didn't love it at first. I thought it was cool. It oozed Christmas, which is what always gave me a reason to revisit it. Dark House, Christmas Tree On, that playing felt like Christmas. Over the years, I've enjoyed it more and more. And, like, the thing about them explaining it, at first I kind of felt like it was, but it Kruger's right. It was different, but it didn't change it, like, you know, 2019. And I think seeing 2019 makes me appreciate 06 so much better. But it's been...
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, out of the two, like, remakes, like, what the fuck is more original? And, like, I don't see... Like, I see Black Christmas 2019 get a lot of hate, but I also see way more people fucking praise it than I do Black Christmas 2019. I see it get a lot of hate, but I don't see as many people, like, completely hating it as much as I see the hate for 2006, and it drives me insane, because it's like, what's a better fucking remake, for God's sake?
Yeah, so comparing the OG in 2006. In a weird way, I mean, they both Black Christmas, but they're two very different movies. So in a way, you can't really compare them. 06 is just fun. You know, it's more just out there in your face. It's a really badass slasher film. It's a little dumb at times, but it doesn't matter because it's all part of the fun, like a lot of slasher movies. The kills are great. I mean, anything bad I could say about it doesn't hurt it. Yeah, the girls are kind of dumb. But again, doesn't hurt it.
Nature.
And I think it is one of those things at a time when, I mean, shit, same year, I think, that Hatchet came out and, you know, you had that tagline, not a remake, not based on a Japanese one. People were ready to shit on it just because it was a remake. And that's still the case today. But especially at that point, we'd had a string of stuff. And this is one of the good ones, much like the Hills Have Eyes remake, in my opinion.
I think a lot of the people that shit on it have not revisited since that original. And like you were saying, that period of time. Because if they have, they'll see it. It's one that's definitely gotten better with age. Not that it was ever bad.
They lumped it in with like the Fog remake, which again around the same time.
That, you know what? I'm almost tempted to say we should do that as a commentary, but then I remember I have to watch the Fog again.
And the only reason to rewatch that would be to see if it's as bad.
Really like back down from challenges. I don't know. I might be busy that day.
So I mean, but comparing the original to me is a classic. An all-time horror classic. I can't say the 2006 is a classic, but I like what they did. I thought the origin story was actually really cool. When those panties drop, it's like, ooh, that's fucking gross. It's effective.
Not only like when the panties drop, you're doing the math in your head and like, this motherfucker's 12.
Yes. What? And the way they shot that was perfect. You're just seeing the rocking and the way they did it. I think it was actually...
I wanted more graphic. I think it would have been better if it was more graphic. And the people... It just had people puking in the fucking theater. Like, that was... that's the type of reaction I want.
You wanted the human centipede to, like, her say something to it. Something. Yeah. It only makes it wetter or something. I don't know.
You're only making daddy's really harder.
But I mean, to me, you can like both. You really can. I mean, anybody, go back and watch it. Yeah, there's a couple dumb moments, and maybe that's the thing, because the original was just so moody and so just creepy. I mean, the voice on the phone, I mean, nothing beats that, really. I mean, it's very effective still to this day. Having said
that's the one thing I was just going to say, that's the one thing I will say about, you know, original versus remake. The phone scene isn't as effective. No. Like, and that's one area, like, watching them both back to back. Like, I didn't realize, like, it wasn't as effective as, you know, the original phone scene. Because that's, like, that's my... Oh, go ahead.
No, finish. I'll come back.
I was just going to say, like, that's my favorite scene in the original, because it's just so, like, it's so nasty with the fucker saying, like, let me lick your pretty pink cunt. Like, fuck, dude. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, and like, you piggy bitch, suck my cock. Like, it's a really, like, what the fuck is going on? And then, like, the way it sounds like there's, like, 15 people in the fucking room. It's eerie. Like, the one thing I will say about the original Black Christmas is, like, there's so many scenes in that movie where not only, like, it's not so much visually scary, but like when you're hearing the audio in some scenes, like, you know, the 12 people talking on the phone, or, you know, fucking even just like some of the kill scenes and the sounds people are making, it's fucking some really eerie and creepy ass fucking sounding effects they did in that movie.
For the phone, like right at the end too, the first call, when he gets like just his voice, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty dark. Like that took a serious turn. I wasn't ready for that.
I mean, we could all come up with even more fucked up stuff to say, but it was just perfect. And it sounded like, is this guy masturbating? Is this guy having a seizure? We don't know, but it just sounds like something horrific out of your nightmare.
Place. Yeah.
You know what Dan would be doing.
One other thing I have to say about the original, if you're listening and haven't watched it in a while, there is humor in that. Like there is at the beginning, like there's actually a couple funny bits. It's not like pure dread one when you get
there's, to dread. There's funny throughout it.
There is, yeah. It's not that one's tongue in cheek.
Abortion is funny.
Yes.
Effie, it's a new exchange.
But when the horror hits, like there's no fucking around for sure.
Let me know. Actually, you know, I'm gonna come back to that. I want to ask Krueger if he even comprehends that whole thing because it's way before his time. Do you know what a phone exchange is, Krueger? Well, actually, I'll ask everyone. Like, cause remember?
The fellatio joke.
Yeah, but you know what a phone exchange is?
Isn't that like a group call? Not a group call. The you're assigned a number.
No.
Oh, then I have no idea.
What it is. Okay, so this is too old for everyone.
Except you.
I don't remember them doing it, but I know what it is. Yeah. Phone exchange was your first two numbers. You were assigned two letters.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like 555. It was like
an area code.
F5. No, you just used two letters. It was called an exchange. So like you could say like if it was AN, it'd be animal, and then you'd say the other okay. five numbers. So that's what an exchange was, and that's where the joke, the exchange is FE fellatio. So sorry, I didn't mean to mansplain the.
No, that's cool. Like I just
explained the joke,
a cock sucking joke, and I'm like, well, yeah,
that's why I took it.
That's, it's the year it came out. It flies over everyone's heads. I didn't understand that for years, but
I'm like, I think this bitch wants to suck my dick.
It's something dirty, isn't it? Saxon was pretty funny in that when he was.
Dude, with him and the guy was laughing their ass off. That was gold. His laugh was contagious.
I think that's honestly Saxton is probably why I love the OG so much, to be honest with you, because you put him in a cop role in any slasher. I mean, I'm going to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
His original slasher cop role. Well, as much as we're all not looking forward to it, anything to say on this?
Go watch our commentary. This is the trick.
Okay. So no, I do have a little bit to say. Just that watching it, it is absolutely as fucking ridiculous as I thought it was going to be. Like, it's just such, like, I understand if you want a woke message put into your movie, but at least fucking be a little bit more clever than that shit, bro. Like, goddamn. Like, it's an insult to the original because the original was so progressive for its time. And honestly, like, you know, way more woke than motherfuckers give it. I think give it credit for. And people go, oh, well, the 2019 just did the same thing. The original. No, it fucking didn't. The original was smart with what it did. The 2019 remake was, I'm just going to be fucking, I'm going to be progressive for the sense of being progressive, and I'm going to smack it right in the middle of your fucking face and not even bother fucking with anything having to do with the storyline of the movie I'm actually remaking. If you wanted to make a progressive slasher that's a Christmas movie, don't call it fucking Black Christmas if you're going to do it that fucking unoriginal and non-clever, because that's a fucking goddamn smack to the face to the progressiveness of the fucking 1974 film.
So come get us for the POC Christmas.
We have
ideas.
Well, and I will say, just summing up, you know, obviously in a more graphic way than we do on the commentary, that movie feels like a message first and foremost delivered by a 5-year-old. It's annoying. It's a propaganda movie. Everything about it fucking sucks, just about. And it's just obnoxious. It's an obnoxious movie. Well, actually, a 5-year-old could probably do something more entertaining. So,
for you,
calm down, Dan.
Fuck you, Dan.
On that note, who wants to put out the commentary again? Patreon.
Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And it all starts at a dollar. We're pretty horrible. So, Yeah.
All right.
You get your money's worth.
I know, Kruger, you wanted to go last, but I'm going to close. You will go. Trust me on this. Dan, Pugs, Kruger, Todd. And you'll know why.
Okay.
For a kill.
At least let me go last on honorable mentions. Okay, that's me unloading a fucking goddamn it's
not gonna,
fat.
Yeah, it's not going to matter either way. I guarantee it.
Okay. So, Mr. Dan.
Oh, all right.
Wait till the graphic comes up. And favorite kill, sir.
Favorite kill. So I may like the original the most, but I'm going to give my favorite kill to the remake. And that is Michelle Trachtenberg's death when the skate is chucked into the back of her head. I thought that was really cool. Pretty original. I can't remember somebody dying by skate that way. Maybe by a skate, but the way they did that, I thought was badass. I popped for it. I forgot about it too. So yeah, that's right.
Can I just say you're leaving out a huge detail on that kill, Bucky Boy?
Splitting out
The fact that the fact that skate fucking scalps her, and then her scalp goes flying under the fucking window.
Yeah,
like that shit was awesome. You totally left out the best part about it.
Well, yeah, I guess anything, but really fucking cool kill. Not one that you even see on highlight reels a lot, which is weird because it's really good. Again, I think people have just forgotten about this movie.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah. So I was going back and forth between two of them. I'm just gonna give one and see if Kruger has the other one. I forgot exactly which character it is, but there is a eyeball stab that goes through the back of a head in the remake.
Yes.
And like, this makes no physical sense, but it looks fucking cool. And I'm like, yeah, eyeball. This is awesome. So that's my favorite. Kruger, do you have that written down? Do you know who got killed?
I don't know. Or wait, yes, I do. It was Billy's mom's boyfriend.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah, that's right. Because right after that, well, fuck it. The second one is when he just bashes the mom with the roller. I'm like, yeah, this bitch has to come in. Then he just eats the fucking cookie cutter flesh. Fucking metal. Love that shit. Okay, Mr. Kruger?
All right. So, yeah, my favorite kill, I had a tie with both Crystal Unicorn kills. The one from the original Black Christmas, even though it's not super bloody and gory, because it isn't if you go back and watch it, the sounds Barb is making while she's dying is eerie and scary as fuck. Like, she's making these choking noises, and then that shot of, you know, we get the iconic shot of Billy with the unicorn raising it above his head, and you just see his eye. That's so iconic in the first movie, but it's also tied with the 2006 unicorn kill, eyeball fucking kill that you talked about, Pugs. It's badass as fuck, and they also they remade that kill in Mortal Kombat, the most recent one.
Fuck yeah.
It exactly the same way. Somebody takes an icicle, sticks it in the eye, and then pushes it, and it goes out the back of the head, just like in the movie in Black Christmas. And yeah, that kill is fucking badass. Makes no logical sense, but dude, we're dealing with slasher kills. Come on now. I had some honorable mentions here. But before I get into them, I will let Todd go.
Okay, it wouldn't even matter because I'm just going to be a weirdo about this. I'm picking a death that isn't officially in the movie that I've always wanted to see. It's only in the theatrical trailer in 2006. They literally just shot it for the trailer. It's a contraption that is. I'll send you the link in the picture if you want to see it.
Put the link in the description too for people.
I will do that too. Maybe I'll throw up the footage while I'm talking. It's built like almost like a lawnmower. You can't really tell what it is, but it's got like blades and it's turning and it's got Christmas lights all over it. And you see the girl getting dragged into it. It was something shot just for the trailer, but I'm like, fuck, I've always wanted to see that kill.
Oh man, the remake the 06 remake should have put that in there then. What the fuck? I don't remember this at all.
We need to make Blu-ray.
Well, it's not like that's the thing. There is supposedly an alternate cut of 06, but that footage that I'm talking about was only shot for the trailer.
The thing about the 06 one too, Glenn Morgan, who X-Files fans know that name, he had said going in that if the movie wasn't successful, he'd never direct another movie. Never did. That's sad. He did Willard as well, which is probably due a rewatch. Michelle? No, the Crispin Glover Willard.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sad. Both movies ooze Christmas, too. I forgot to say that earlier. Both absolutely ooze it.
I go with 06 does more.
Oh, 06 actually has Christmas lights in hallways and stuff. Like before, it was cool to put it behind your TV and shit. So, fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, just even the kills, like Pug said, the gingerbread cookie fucking flesh, like Jeffrey that Palmer is Christmas. So good. And just like how nasty it looks when he's eating. Yeah, and how nasty it looks when he's eating it with the milk. Like, oh, that shit looked gross. So I'm going to get into honorable mentions for my kills because I have quite a few. I'll start with the 06 remake since we're talking about it. Just candy cane to the neck. I know Santa Sleigh did it too, but I love that kill. Fucking also the icicle to the eye. You know, you shoot your eye out. Fucking homage to Bob Clark. Just fucking great kill. Also, the plastic wrap suffocation from both the original Black Christmas, because, I mean, that shit's iconic. That just, you know, it's the poster art. You know, you get back to that shot multiple times in the movie. And, yeah, just I love that fucking
Turk
kill.
Ramsey stole that idea.
And also the plastic bag kill in the remake. That's because there's a couple of them in that movie. But the specific one I like is the one where Agnes rips out homeboy's eye or homegirl's eye while she's suffocating him and stabbing him to death while she's doing it too. So yeah, that's all I got as far as kills.
Okay. All right. Yeah, if I picked one that was in the actual movie, it would have been the plastic bag kill, actually. All right. Well,
underrated weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Creepy well, after.
Yeah. What's everyone's favorite character? I know Dan's is the black chick from 2019, so we can just skip him.
Why do you assume you know my favorite character? I don't think you'll predict my favorite character, Todd.
Well, if that's the case, we should have Dan go first, since Mr. Yeah. Riddler.
Do you want to make your prediction, Todd?
I'm going to say Billy because you like the phone calls.
You are incorrect.
Well, but you want me to make an actual guess?
Oh, I thought that was an actual
guess. No, I was just messing around. If I was going to actually guess, I'm going to say the dumb cop.
No. What the fuck, Todd? Goddamn, you don't know me at all. So my favorite character is from the original, and that is the OG house mom, Miss Mac, who cared about her bitches. She covered up, tried to cover up the porno with her hand. She's looking out. She may not have made it. I think she could have been the final girl. At the end, I think she should have come out and just like with like fucking Rambo style, fuck Billy up. She deserved it, but alas.
Good for you, Dan. I have my notes. Miss Mac. Yeah, and also she's from Grange, so like I was like, hey, I love her. And she's cool as shit. She's a fucking secret alcoholic, hiding it in books, hiding it in fucking toilet, the toilet tank. And yeah, she's just in general, a fucking cool person, and I want to give her a hug.
She cares about her girls, man. I mean, she's a good person.
I wish they would have brought that more of that character to what's her ass that came back from the original one. Like I wanted her to be that kind of goofy, lovable person, but whatever. Yeah. So Miss Mac is also mine.
I agree. Remember that scene in The Collection where the dude like threw one of his dogs, like decapitated him and threw the head. I wanted her to show up in like 06. Just like, come on, motherfucker.
Well, we should do that franchise. That's fun.
That is. Yeah. I would like to talk about that.
Kruger, what is your favorite character? Who is your favorite character?
Well, see, I, you know, obviously I was gonna pick Billy, but I thought that was a little cheap if I did. So I'm gonna go with Barb from the 1974 film. Just her dialogue is so raunchy. You know, she's such a fucking, you know, bitch. I mean, the chick literally says fucking is talking about some homeboy's dead daughter right in front of him, drunk as fuck. Like, she's such a cunt and just does not give a fuck. And I can just imagine the disgust with old boomers watching that movie and seeing just the way she acted. But I gotta go also with Agnes in the remake. Like, the fact they made her a character is so fucking cool. Also, like, you know, just the way she's even been, like, fucking tortured from birth, motherfucker, got her eyeball ripped out as a baby, and then, you know, now her thing is she fucking rips people's eyeballs out. Hell yeah. And also, you know, that bitch had like seven toes. So fucking Agnes as a mutant fucking incest baby is a pretty goddamn amazing character as well.
It's yeah. Ma'am.
I'm with Krueger. I'm team Barb. Margot Kidder is fucking awesome in this movie.
You know, she has a black belt in BJ's.
I was going to allude to her suicide, but thank you, Pucks.
Oh, I was talking about her dick sucking abilities. So it's a black belt, but yeah, that works too.
Yeah, well,
wasted on Christopher Reeve.
Well, they're making Superman 5 in heaven. Now. So,
the quest for head.
Quest for a piece, not quest for peace.
See, there you go. Yeah, she's just too hilarious. It was hard to pick her over Saxon because I love John Saxon, yeah. But she was just so entertaining in this one, in the first original.
Yeah. Unlikely Lois Lane too for Margot Kidder. I mean, you just
disagree with her mouthy ass in Black Christmas. Yeah, I totally see her. Like, she's a take no shit kind of girl until shit gets real. Then you got to call it Superman. But that's what happens.
Wow. Okay.
When she's off hiding in the bushes.
Yeah. Here we go.
Favorite.
All right. Do you want to go first or last, Krueger?
Oh, I'll go first. So, like, this was really hard. Wait, real quick, for me,
for our
because
listeners,
listeners,
we're doing favorite Billy. Oh. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So, like, as far as favorite Billy, like, it's hard for me because the OG is so good because of how mysterious he is. You know what I mean? And like the way they fake you out too, and how, you know, he actually, you know, ends up fucking surviving the movie. I mean, that's something, you know, not many slashers you see have. So he's so cool, but man, the fucked up story of 2006 Billy, the fact he gets raped by his fucking mom, all the torture and fucking bullshit that fucking character had to put up with, you know why he was killing motherfuckers. Cause I think he just, him as a slasher was so badass that, I have to go with the 2006 Billy. Also like his dynamic with Agnes too. Like, it was just, I just like that so fucking much. And it's just a shame that we didn't get Black Christmas too. Cause I wanted to bring Billy back from the dead or some shit.
I'd take my money. I am also 2006. That yellow bastard is fucking awesome. He's like, they turn him into a monster, and I dig that. He's just way more violent and angry and brutal than the original Billy. Not taking anything away from him. He's a creepy dude in the shadows, and we all know how I feel about Halloween. He's a shape. Shit rules. All we get to see is his fucking eye, and that's scary as shit, but the yellow dude is a monster. You're being killed by a fucking person that's yellow. That's weird.
All right. Well, I'll go now. I am team OG on this one because the phone calls. That's what put it over for me. Mm. Was those phone calls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm OG also because there's something. He remains so mysterious. I mean, obviously towards the end, but I think that fear, once you, the other Billy's fucked up, but once you see him, it's like, well, maybe I can fight whatever the fuck this is. But, the original's just, man, he's in control. He gets under your skin. I think any of us would be lying if we said we didn't get phone calls like that. It wouldn't fuck with us. Or I gotta go. Make them.
I think it'd be okay.
We're the ones that make them, I guess. But just call some random number now. I want to lick your cunt.
I imagine you already do all that, Dan.
Piggy bitch. Patreon. That's my favorite. Piggy bitch. Make a shirt.
So yeah, OG.
Cool.
All right. Well, the impact on the genre. Well,
undeniable.
Okay. Anyway, so like, yeah, I'll go first. So my whole thing with just Black Christmas is the reason I said, you know, it's kind of grandfather of, or you know, I wouldn't say the grand, I'd say Psycho's the grandfather of slashers, but it's definitely, you know, right there. And like, it's funny that so many people give Friday the 13th shit for being a ripoff of Halloween, when Halloween's essentially heavily inspired by Black Christmas. I mean, it's pretty stupid fandom bullshit right there. But yeah, just Black Christmas, over the years, like watching it when I was younger, made me like really fall in love with the fact that, you know, Christmas horror, you know, it was never really a thing until I saw this movie. And, you know, obviously now Christmas horror is like, you know, one of the, I think biggest things for, you know, horror as a genre. So it's innovative in that sense, innovative in the sense, like I said, with, you know, slashers, it being, you know, it didn't really set rules, but it kind of, I think that's kind of where a lot of like the comedy aspects of slashers we get from the original 1974 film, because that movie has, you know, so many good laughs in it, and it balances it out with, you know, creepy and brutal fucking scenes. And, you know, I think that's kind of where we started to see, you know, the contrast there for, you know, slashers as a genre. So, Pugs, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to focus on two of its children. It has a shape type person killer, and it has phone calls. My favorite movies are fucking Halloween and Scream. I'm like, without Black Christmas, I wouldn't have these gems. So I think the impact is fucking undeniable. And it doesn't just affect those two movies or two franchises in particular. It is across the board. Yeah, it was a linchpin. They pulled it and boom, we got fucking slashers like this. Have things came before it? Sure. But like the impact of this one is maybe not Psycho, but it's fucking big. It's really huge. So I think it has an undeniable impact on this genre, and thank you. What about you, Mr. Todd?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue everything it is. I mean, there's an argument to be made what the original slasher is, and none of them are right or wrong, but this is definitely one that if it started or not, it was one of those main ones that really pushed it. I mean, there's no arguing that Friday the 13th kicked off the wave, even though if it wasn't the original.
Yeah.
But I could say that you could say that there's an argument for Halloween that is what truly kicked off the wave because of Friday the 3rd was copying that, and Black Christmas was very criminally unseen at that time. So there's the whole thing. But I mean, no matter how you look at it, it had some part of it. Even if stories are to be believed or not, there is too many similarities that you can't. Okay, let me do this. A lot of people will watch the original and it's not going to hold up for them. Because at this point, everything in that movie is such a cliche. Going back to watching it, it's nothing's new. It's like the phone calls are coming from the house has been done 1,000 times. The POV killer. It's for some new fans, it's going to be like, well, I've seen this. But that's only because it's so ingrained in our horror history that it's like that. And you, I mean,
say,
that
you say cliche, I'm going to say blueprint just to be a little more respectful.
That is a better way. Yes, yeah. You're right.
But I know it's we all understand what you're getting at. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I was actually saying at their point of view, it would be a cliche. Don't make me sound like I'm being a dick.
Sorry. But,
yeah, it changed the game.
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, this is one, again, for a long time. I mean, I remember being a young horror fan, and this movie wasn't talked about much at all. I mean, at one point, it would even qualify as obscure almost because nobody knew about it. You know, even I didn't see it right away. Like, it was one that took me a little bit to see it.
It was locked on VHS for quite a while. It had the early clamshell releases, and then I don't think it surfaced again until that Critical Mass DVD.
Yeah, it took work to see it, and it's thank God, you know, we have a Blu-ray now, and I was fortunate enough to see this in Vandergrift at Riverside Drive-In. Oh, God, if you could see it at a drive-through, I mean, please do. Drive-in or a drive-through, that works too.
I've never seen a screen possible.
It's a film that I really do think is timeless. If you haven't watched it, I think it is a must watch.
For sure. Like, well, I just wanted to cut in cool. just to say, like, if you're a fan of slashers, like, you gotta watch this fucking movie just for the sheer fact of how innovative it was for its time. And like, I don't see a lot of people considering this one of their favorites, but like, man, I rewatched the original, like, this time, you know, rewatching it for this show, and I actually went back and watched it like 3 times in a row. Like, I loved it so fucking much. Like, and just like, because I guess like when I was first saw it, I didn't realize how innovative and like I said before, how progressive, you know, the storyline it was. You know, you have a woman telling her, telling, you know, a guy, I'm not going to marry you because I'm pregnant and I'm going to abort your child. And just that for its time is like, what the fuck? And I didn't get that, you know, my first couple of times watching that, but now, you know, watching it and like I said before, comparing it to 2019, it's just like, it's that movie's so disrespectful compared to, you know, the quality of progressiveness.
Well, that guy ended up having a space baby anyway, so it's cool.
You know, I do want to point out one thing because no one's put her over yet. Olivia Hussey, lead in this. Norma Bates in the future, she was great in this too. I mean,
you know, a point we did also, yeah, Olivia Hussey's awesome. Another point we didn't make, and I could be off on the year, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Roe versus Wade was just a year before this, so probably like literally right when this was made is like abortion. So pretty ballsy. Sounds like 73 is my guess if I'm off on that, but I'm
73.
Sure. 73, there you go. I know some history.
She ended up being a fucking liar.
Yeah, definitely pretty intense at that time.
All right, well, let's talk about Mr. Bob Clark.
Mr. Clark, yes.
Let's start it off with a big thank you.
So the fact... Well, obviously, you know, thank you for having a pair of balls. I haven't seen his other horror film he did.
Death Dream. What the fuck was it called?
Children Shouldn't Play with Death Things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know he had two. I didn't see his previous... I didn't see Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. So I need to see that. But the fact that Barb Clark did, you know, Black Christmas, which is this, you know, raunchy, crazy, you know, slasher movie, and also did A Christmas Story, I find is fucking hilarious. Like, I think that's fucking funny as shit. That's a conversation piece I bring up to my family every time we watch A Christmas Story, because I'm like, oh, can we watch Black Christmas after this? Because, you know, I just want to see everybody react to, you know, Pretty Pink Cunt being screamed through the telephone. But fucking, you know, just, yeah, innovative guy. I listened to his commentary on the Shout Factory commentary on the Black Christmas Blu-ray release, and just, you could tell how much he loved this fucking movie. And like, I don't know if he realized how fucking innovative he would be at the time, but sure as fuck fucking realized it later because he does toot his own horn a lot. Yeah.
He invented everything. if you talk to well, if you could still talk to me, he invented film at this point.
An yeah. argument can be made. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan. Oh, that's okay. No, he
how long till he brings up Porky's?
Oh, I wasn't gonna go there first. You brought up and I'm glad you did. I mean, he didn't direct Deranged, but he was a producer on it. Yeah. Credited, yeah. So, and that's another masterpiece. Deaf Dream,
fix that.
Absolutely. I mean, but yeah, Deaf Dream, Vietnam War. That movie is so fucking underrated too. Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. Fantastic. Dan's
favorite Baby Geniuses.
Rhinestone.
So here's the thing about him though. Bob Clark defined the Christmas movie with Christmas Story. He made what you could make a very fucking strong case is the funniest movie ever with Porky's. I mean, that movie is just goddamn hilarious. I'll confess there's actually several other films that I haven't seen that he's done outside of, you know, the genres.
Baby Genius.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he everything towards the end, but
everything post 94
you can miss.
Yeah, like I can loose cannons from the hip. I make a joke about Rhinestone, but it's hilariously bad. Murder by Decree that recently came out from Kino.
Yeah.
But the one thing I was gonna mention about his two Christmas movies, neither of them made any noise. Like Christmas Story was just like when it came out, no one cared. It wasn't
boom.
And it wasn't until it was 24/7. I'm looking at my leg lamp right now.
Yeah.
Well, yours is an actual leg, Todd. Let's be honest.
Home DIY, Dan. Come
on. Once it starts to decay too much, you just make a new one.
You just got to look what the girls already have the fishnets on. Done.
Boom. But
how many people make all? I mean, Porky's Christmas Story are. No matter who you are, you have probably seen those movies.
Mentioned my three favorites of his, and honestly, my favorite of his is A Christmas Story. Like I love Porky's, and I will fight you to the death on Porky's, but Christmas Story just hits me right. Yeah, I just think Bob Clark owns the spectrum of Christmas. Him and Christopher Columbus, probably. Christopher. Is it Christopher Columbus? Fucking what's his ass? Home Alone. Chris Columbus, yeah. Right?
Yes, and he also did Gremlins, and he did.
Yeah. But I was confusing him with the fucking dude who fucking murdered. Bob Clark owns the spectrum of fucking Christmas movies. You want a scary one? Here you go. You want a family friendly one? Here you go. Or in my case, you want both? Fuck yeah, let's do both. Right. Bob Clark likes Bob Clark. Bob Clark.
Absolutely.
I brought this up earlier. I was at his one convention appearance, Fangoria, and I believe Burbank, could have been Pasadena, somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area.
I don't think I went to that one. I don't remember the year.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was. See, that's the thing. I wish I remembered exactly what it was for. It was definitely around the time the remake came out because I know it came up in discussion. You know, and of course, everyone who questioned it wants to kind of talk shit. And no, he was getting paid. He produced. So he was excited about it. What he was really excited about, and he also had his late son that was also there with him. They were there. Their big thing was talking about the Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things remake that was in early pre-production. I know his son had co-wrote it with him, or he wrote it. I can't remember exactly. But he was another thing he was really excited about. And at the end of the whole thing, he was like, you know, I had a really, you know, this is his first one. He's never done it before. He really liked it. And he can't wait to do more. Unfortunately, a drunk driver fucking prevented that from happening.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't have to be alive to see Christmas Story 2.
So. Or make baby.
I still haven't pulled that trigger or fucking Black Christmas
or Black Christmas 2019 yeah.
or Black Christmas 2019
probably rolling over
then you have to talk good about
then
it.
Then we'd still lose them
yeah
He's the one driving drunk now. I love you, Bob Clark.
Oh yes, definitely.
He's R.I.P. a true legend, and he's made a mark that's not going to go away. Whether hard,
I haven't been on PCH lately, so I can't confirm that.
And one day we'll try and watch the rest of your movies. I saw the actor.
I definitely want to check out.
You offended yourself.
You can see his first feature, She-Man, from Something Weird Video, which is
of course you know that
oddball movie that he denies actually. So I don't know where the story came from. There's a funny story where it's like he tried to pretend he didn't make that movie.
So. Well, Wes Craven did it with his early porn too, and Lloyd Kaufman kind of did with his, but I still need to get all three of those. Now we got some missions. All right. Well, on that, do we want to pimp out the Patreon again and pimp out that?
Yes. Be sure, as we said, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And guys, our Black Christmas 2019 commentary is funny. So if you want to support us for Christmas, it all starts at $1. And there's other perks. Check it out. Go ahead and do
it. It's not for the sensitive type. But if you're curious, it's only $1 to find out. So please and thank you. It is 'tis the season. And if you want to give us $1. It'd be great. Please and thank you. And we hope you're having a very, very Merry Christmas and a happiest of holidays for whatever bullshit you celebrate. And we say bullshit because I don't have time to go over every fucking holiday. So, you know.
Just celebrate 2020, man. Over.
No, we say bullshit for religion is stupid, but it's okay.
Yeah. There you go. So, anyone else have anything to say before we head out and go finish our Christmas festivities?
I'm gonna go watch Porky's. That's all I got.
All right, let's go hang out then. Follow us across all the social media bullshits. Please and thank you. Happy holidays, and we'll see you very soon. Later, guys. Everyone, say good night.
Good night.